the 5th day of the 7th month, 5th of July, and we're here again for another Bible study. Evelyn, I know without a shadow of a doubt that it will be a blessing. I know that, including myself, we will all learn together. Amen. Yes, it's never getting used to. It's never a comfortable feeling to be seated in a hot chair than, to be presenting. But God is God, and He knows. He knows how to get the best out of every one of us. Amen. Yes, and so I want to welcome you. Welcome you all to another Bible study evening. This evening is still going to be looking at the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We started it 2 weeks, not last week, but the week before. Because last week we were studying imperfect people who God has turned around, used for His glory. Amen. And it was done by Sister Grant. It was such a blessing last week. We're still digesting it. We're still feasting upon it. It still gave us so much food, so much to eat from it, so much take away from it. It was such a profound message, and we thank Sister Grant again for allowing God to use her in such a profound way. To God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
So we looking at Corinthians, a book written by Apostle Paul. As we'd have introduced it 2 weeks ago, it has, we're looking at the, I think we stop at verse 18. We are looking at the point where there was he called for oneness in the church. Some were saying they divided themselves into sect and said, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas. They divided up themselves there and there, then and there. But Paul is saying, it's one church. Christ is not divided. You shouldn't be saying, I am of Paul, I am of Cephas, I am of Apollos, I am of Christ. There was a division going on in the Corinthians church. And so we have tackled that. We have looked at that. And we are at verse 18 where we stop. And we're tonight we're going to try to go from 18 to 31. It's quite a few verses, but this is Bible study, and we're not going to rush it. We're just going to take our time, go through it. Wherever we stop, wherever we stop, that's all right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. So verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it said that for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Yes, I'm encouraging you to have your Bible, whether electronically or physical Bible, and find the passage so we can all share in the reading, because today I was so into preparing it so that I didn't get to like section it off to get readers beforehand. But it's not like the Old Testament, what we were looking at the other day, that it has a lot of unfamiliar, I'm not going to say big words, but rather unfamiliar words in it that maybe you'd have to read it like one or two times to get familiar with the words and the pronunciations of it in order to read it effectively or fluently. This is the New Testament, and it has familiar words. Most likely familiar words, apart, words that you can pronounce, so you can easily jump on and read. Amen. Yes, so verse 18 again. It said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And this is Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. So this verse, it highlights contrasting perspective and the message of the cross. In other words, how different people It highlights how different people view the cross, how the unsaved view the cross, and how the saved view the cross. You know, some would see it as foolishness, preaching of the cross, foolishness. Others would see it as the ultimate, a final, decisive source of strength and salvation. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, 4 and 3 and 4, Paul tells us that, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, who the God of this world has blinded their eyes so that they cannot see, you know, blinded their minds. You know, we could look at it. First, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. Do we have a reader for that?
2 Corinthians 3 and 4.
Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4.
Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter
4?
4 and 3 and 4.
Yes.
I'm using the Revised Standard Version.
No problem.
And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
Amen. So this is Apostle Paul speaking again, and he said that the gospel is wide open, and if it be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Amen. So the preaching of the cross reflects how faith can be viewed from different, differently from one's perspective, whether your state, your spiritual state, your believing state, or whatever. You know, the preaching of the cross. For believers, the cross represents hope, redemption, and the transformative power of God's love. While for those who don't share that faith, it might be illogical or ridiculous. Or simple put, doesn't make any sense. You know, but to us, the redeemed of God, the saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. It makes sense. But to the unbelievers, it doesn't make any sense. You know, and as we study this passage further down, we're going to see why. Why it doesn't make any sense. Why it wouldn't make any sense to them. Amen.
Amen.
This is a powerful reminder of how faith can change one perspective of the world. This shows us how people see the cross, how the perishing see the cross, and how the unsaved see the cross. You know, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, that we already read 2 weeks ago, Paul declared that Christ sent him to preach the gospel. You know, that's the B part of that verse, verse 17. He said he sent Christ sent him to preach the gospel. And if A part would say he didn't send him to baptize, but he sent him to preach the gospel. You know, and question for you, what is the gospel?
The good news.
Good news, amen. Anyone else? What is the gospel?
News of salvation.
Amen. Good news of salvation. Yes, the gospel is indeed good news. It includes the life. It includes the life, the teaching, crucifixion, resurrection of Jesus Christ.
That's good news.
Yeah, that's the good news. The life, the teaching, the crucifixion, and the resurrection.
Direction.
Yes, of Jesus Christ. And the term gospel is used to def is also used to define the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark,
Mark,
Luke, and
Luke, and
John.
John.
Yes, the term gospel is used to describe them. And out of those four, three of them cease together.
Synoptic Gospels is
They're called the
synoptic.
synoptic gospels.
Right,
They cease
yeah, you
together.
have it.
And Those three would be Matthew,
Mark,
Mark, and
Luke.
Luke. And the reason why we say it's synoptic, or they see it together, we see similar things or similar event recorded
The three or
in
four.
all three. Yes. You would see similar event recorded in all three. So they see it together. It may tell the story a little different from the perspective of which they saw it. Luke is a medical doctor. So Luke would look at it from a medical point of view. He'd look at what he sees from a medical point of view. Others would look at it from their point of view. Just like if we're traveling in a car to driving from state to state or whatever, and you'd ask me, how was the journey? How was the journey there? And I would be telling you, oh, the car that we drove in, that I drove, it drove so comfortably. It was so comfortable and good. Meanwhile, someone else in the back seat would say, who's on the same journey, would say, man, the scenery was so good. I see the roads were like perfect. So you'd speak on different aspect of it, but they were all eyewitnesses to these accounts. Yes, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's the gospel. So if you want to read more about the gospel, the life of Jesus Christ, those are the books that you would read to get a first-hand knowledge of it. So the message of the cross, that's the gospel message. It is foolishness to them that perish. To those who reject the salvation of the cross, the idea of being saved through the work of a crucified man is foolishness. The idea of them being saved, of the world being saved by a crucified man that was crucified on the cross, they consider it like foolishness. So the word message of the cross may sound religious to us. When we talk about cross, to us in this 21st century, it sounds religious. It sounds like it just sound good and religious, and you just feel good when you talk about the cross and stuff. But in that first century, that first century believers and stuff, in that era that they were living in, it never necessarily seems religious then. When they talk about the message of the cross, it was different, because the cross then, as it is now, but we view it differently. But then they see it as an instrument of death, the cross. That first century believers, they see it as an instrument of death, a cruel type of death.
Got a bad
And maybe in those,
connotation.
yes, maybe in those days, people would be saying, what message does a cruel, humiliating, merciless instrument of death have?
Would bring,
Yes, what message would that have? How can that save us? A crucified Christ, being on, because even the word tells us that curse is anyone who hung
And the tree,
on the cross
naturally.
and the tree. So the way they view it then is not necessarily how we would view it now, because we have faith in the cross work of Jesus Christ. We believe that he was crucified, dead and buried, and he rose again. Amen. Yes, so it would be considered foolishness to them then, because the cross represent a cruel type of death.
It's
Yes, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To us who trust in and are being saved, this message of the cross becomes to us the actual power of Almighty God. Amen. To the natural, there is a natural power in the preaching of the true gospel. You know that the gospel message, when preached, it can give you a sense of purpose, a sense of fulfillment. Give you hope when you hear that powerful gospel message. It can transform your life. It can change it for good. Word of God tells us that if any man be in Christ, he's a new
New
creature.
creature.
All things, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
I
Amen.
wonder if Sister Scott wants to she might be having an issue.
She's not on yet. She said she'll soon be on.
Yes, she spoke to me earlier that she will be
Late.
a bit late. Yes, but I think maybe she may be on
There was a
with
message
Heather.
a while ago I got, that's why.
Yes, she might be on with Heather.
Okay.
Yes, bless the Lord.
She wants to
Yes.
talk. She says she wants to talk.
Oh, go ahead, Sister Scott.
No, she having, I think she touched something on the phone saying that she needs to make a phone call. So
Okay, all
I'm
right.
gonna go up
Okay.
the stairs now and get it off her phone.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Okay, all
Yeah.
right. Yes. So the message of the cross, that's the gospel. And it was important for the apostle to preach the gospel without representing it. It was impossible, I should say, for Apostle Paul to preach the gospel without presenting the cross. He have to tell about the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the second part of it, we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. Anyone there? 19 to 21.
Yes, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to another and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord. And Apostle Paul, when Apostle Paul said there, when he begin at verse 19 and said, "For it is written," is referring to Isaiah 29, verse 14. That's where it was written. Amen. Isaiah 29, verse 14. So he said, "It is written." So he's quoting from that scripture. Yes, Isaiah 29, verse 14.
Okay.
That's where he was quoting from. And that verse, let me just read it. It said, "Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a miracle, a marvelous work among these people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent men shall be hid." You know, so Paul shows that God opposes the wisdom of man. He will destroy the wisdom of man. So he said, "Where is the wise?" Paul is saying, "Where is the wise?" In light of what God says in Isaiah 29:14. Now, where is your wise men? Paul is asking. Where is your scribe? Where is the disputer of the age? God has made them all foolish through his wisdom, his God's wisdom. He has destroyed the wisdom of the wise, just as he said he would. And you know what this, you know who the scribes are when he said, "Where is the scribes?" The scribes were professional copyists, the scholars of those days.
I'm right. Don't.
Yes, they were the interpreters of the law of Moses, the scribes. You know, they were highly knowledgeable in the scriptures and held positions of authority. Sometimes they were even serving as lawyers, as judges, teachers. Those are described. So it was like a sect. They were like a sect, along with the Pharisees, the scribes. And so you always hear the Bible talking about the
That's right.
scribes and the
And in the
Pharisees
Pharisees
and
and
the
the Sadducees,
Sadducees. You know, some interpreters would say the Pharisees are those that are too far to see, and the Sadducees are those that are too sad to see. You know, those in those days, They are the one that were what you call it, enforcing the law of Moses. So Paul is saying, where's the scribe? You know, and stuff. So yes. And the dispute of the eight, those that will debate the work of Calvary, or debate, you know, the things of God.
And argue about it, yes.
Yes, you know, they and so he said that there was no wise man, I know scribes, I know debater who can do what Christ has done.
Done.
None of them could do
None.
what Christ has done. Paul is saying the world by wisdom did not know God. Their wisdom could not lead them to understand
Give
who
them.
God is.
But didn't he, and in the words so that the wisdom, or wisdom, the wisdom of man is foolishness to God.
Yes. Yes, so not their wisdom couldn't lead them to God. You know, there is a constant tendency to think that the smartest and wisest people would know about God. You know, you're saying that they are a professor or they are a lawyer, a doctor, and you say, oh, that one must know about God because they are so wise. And you think within your mind, you think that they would know about God. You know, they would know, but this is wearily. You all define it like that. You know, that person that are highly learned and highly educated, they are living a God-centered life or a life that's tell of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's like the more learned people are nowadays, is the further they are drift away into the things of the world. You know, the more proud they become. They become so prideful and so boastful in their achievement. You know, and so God cut that down. You know, the wise and the people that see themselves as wise, you know, God destroy all of that wisdom. You know, yes. So the world by wisdom, they did not know God. In their wisdom, in their sophisticated, refrigerated self, they did not know God. You know, so and the more educated you are, is the more set you are in your own mind. God's wisdom is not man's wisdom multiplied to the highest degree. It's completely different. It's in a different class. You know, God's wisdom, it is not man's wisdom multiplied to the highest degree. Is in a different lineage completely. You know, it takes a different tangent from what our thoughts are. He said that our thoughts are not his thoughts and our ways are
Our
not his
ways are
ways.
not
It's
his way.
completely different.
Yes.
You know, it's not a multiple of. It's not like it's a multiple of. You know, but it's completely different. You know. Yes, so you'll see in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, where God said, I know the thought that I thought that I or
For
my thought, sorry,
you
Isaiah
have not your
55,
thoughts.
verse 8. My thoughts are not your
Not your
thoughts, nor your
now my
ways my
ways, your
ways, saith the
ways, your
Lord.
ways.
For as the heaven are higher than the earth,
Oh
so
yes,
are
oh
my
I
ways
thought
higher
higher
than your
your
ways,
ways and
and my thought than your
better than
thought. So is not is not in the same tangent. So Paul, you know, a point to note there. Paul is not condoning or condemning. Sorry, Paul is not condemning learning, you know, or educated people. He's not condemning you. Learn, educate yourself as much as possible, you know. But what he's merely saying is that by themselves, they are useless in trying to obtain spiritual wisdom. Because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. You know, to know Christ is spiritual and it has to be spiritual discerned. And it was Charles Spurgeon who said, it is certain that a blind man is no judge of colors, and a deaf man is no judge of sound, and a man who has never been quickened unto the spiritual life can have no judgment as to the spiritual things.
Yes,
You know,
amen.
so you have to be touched by God in order to know God. And going down to 20 verses 22 to 25. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 22 to 25. Anyone there?
For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than
Strong
men.
and men.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of
Oh,
God
God
is
is strong,
stronger than men.
stronger, yeah,
You know,
powerful.
yes,
Amen.
because you may say that God sending his son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to redeem us from our sins. You may view it and say, oh, there might have could have been a better way. Why you'd have to send his only son to the cross, to die in our stead. But it might, and you would have said it might have could have been a better way. But 3 days after, something miraculously happened. The resurrection take place. The
Rose, yeah,
resurrection took
Rose.
place, then it
Yes.
all makes sense. Yeah, just like the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He could have delivered them from the fiery furnace before even letting them be
Brother
thrown in
Scott,
there.
when we go back to Genesis, that was the way because God said he was going to send the seed of the woman to destroy the serpent.
Those, yeah.
Amen.
So that was God's plan from the beginning.
Beginning.
Yes. Yes, but those Sister Grant, those look, those not familiar in that era with the with the Pentateuch, are familiar with that Old Testament, with the Old Testament, would not have seen that because they're looking for a Messiah. Yes, they're looking for a deliverer. They're looking for somebody to deliver them, but they're not looking for it in that form,
That
a
form.
humble person. They're not looking for it, a person that is so humble to turn the other cheek, turn the other cheek, and to teach the way Jesus did. They were looking for a warrior, somebody that would fight to defend them, not somebody that would go to the cross. God's wisdom is in a completely different alignment with our wisdom. Daniel went into the lion's den. He could have rescued Daniel before he was thrown there, but he caused Daniel to go in there and shut them out of the lions and took him out without being destroyed by the lions. Sometimes you and I may be wondering why God would allow things, bad things to happen to good people. But then we see something changes, something shifts as they go through the process. Just like you and I testimony, we have some testimony, and testimony doesn't start off good. It's like a mixed up or a bad story with a good ending. Oh God, I did not have no money. Things were so bad, and it have 1 day leave to pay my mortgage. 1 day leave, and I don't see the way out. I don't see how it's going to come. But then you're going to testify and say, and the very nick of time, when the grace period would have expired, God sent somebody, and my mortgage was paid. So that's a testimony, and it started off with something that seems like it's falling apart, something that is on the rocks. Just it's like a this something that doesn't look good. But when God stepped in and change things around. Now you have a testimony. Now it look good. Now you see the foolishness of God is wiser than man. You know? Yes. So we see the Jew, they wanted a sign. In Paul's days, the Jewish world was looking for a sign. Specifically, they wanted a sign of a miraculous messianic delivery. You know, they wanted that sign. They were not looking for the message of the cross. You know, they were not looking for the message of the cross. And I tell you what, the message of the cross was already, you know, especially the crucifixion. They were not looking for that. They were looking for a sign, you know. And if ever a time we see people looking for a sign, it is now. If they hear that there's a prophet on that side of town, or somebody can tell them about their life and tell them about their future and tell them about that, they tend to flock that person because they want to see a sign. They want to hear about they want somebody to look into their crystal ball. You know? And anywhere they hear that a word of prophecy is, they tend to gravitate there and stuff. You know? So they're like the Jews. They're looking for a sign. You know, and the Greek, that's the Gentile believers, that's us. Greek. They were seeking after wisdom. You know, the Greek were seeking after wisdom. You know, expressed in high academic philosophical terms. They want you to explain the gospel to them in philosophical terms. They want it to make sense in their natural mind. They don't want to hear that Christ came and he bled and he died. He was mocked. He was spat upon. He went to the cross and stuff. They don't want to hear. They want to hear. They want to you to explain it philosophically. They want you to explain it with man's wisdom, lest they're not going to believe you. You know? Yes. And Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. Instead of giving the Jew and the Greek what they demanded in deliverance and wisdom, God gave them something unexpected, a crucified Messiah, a crucified Jesus. You know, instead of giving them what they sought after, a sign, educated, sophisticated, refrigerated person, they get a crucified Christ. You know, so Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. Amen. All right, we're going to break down those two words, Christ and crucified. Christ is a Messiah, right? And the Messiah meant power, splendor, and triumph. Right? Christ crucified. Christ means the Messiah. And he has power, splendor, and triumph. He's triumphant over everything. And crucified means weakness, defeat, you know, humiliation. That's what crucified means. A weakness, defeated. You are defeated. To be hung on that cross, it's like you're defeated. You're weak. And you're humiliated because you're hung up in front of everybody to see you there in your weakness. The whole world looking at you in your weakness when in the capital in Jerusalem, there, you know, people looking at you and stuff. And so we are combining those two words, Christ crucified. That's the power, the Messiah, the triumphant one, who has the splendor. And he's crucified. That means he's in a state of weakness, a state of defeat, a state of humiliation. That is not what the first century Christians were looking for in a savior. You know, they were looking for somebody that would fight their way through, as I said before. You know, so this combination of the two words, it seems like they're opposing each other. These two words, Christ crucified, it's like they're opposing each other, right? And this was what Paul was preaching. That's why you see, in the first century and even up to now, people are rejecting, they're like rejecting the gospel message because it appears foolishness to their natural mind. It doesn't make sense to their natural mind, you know? But the message of the cross, I'm proposing to you that the message of the cross is not weak. It is powerful and it is wise. Sometimes it is our expectation of what God should do that keep us from receiving the power, from receiving that power of the cross and the wisdom, you know, is our expectation of what we view it to be. So we want to tell God how to heal. You know, we want to tell God when we pray or when we talk to God, we want to tell him how to heal, when to heal, why to heal, who to heal, you know, who to bless, when to bless, how to bless, who to promote, how to promote. You know, it's like we're dictating to God what we expect him as God to do in our situation. So we're telling him, we're looking, it's like we have our own agenda set up. And we're going and we say, we want healing, no. We want deliverance, no. You know, it's like we now start to dictate because we don't know the power. It's like we have not experienced the power of the cross in the way that Paul is expressing it. It's the power of God unto salvation, you know. And so whatever God does, he do it in his own timings. He do it. His time is not our time and stuff. You know, I'm not saying that there sometimes you won't get your deliverance and your breakthrough immediately as you speak the word, you know, but sometimes we have to wait on the process. God would want to take us through a particular process so that when we get over it, we're not going back that way because we have learned the lesson good and well, and we are now empowered. We are now empowered to move past that test. Amen. So
Amen.
Paul is saying that the foolishness of God is wiser than man. God is at his most foolish and very weakest at the cross. You know, that's all. Mankind would view it that God would be at his most foolish and most weakest at the cross, but it was definitely wiser and stronger than anything man could do. Salvation is not achieved by human wisdom. It is the embrace of God's intense, unexpected act of love at Calvary. You know, so you may say, why the cross? Why would God allow this to happen? Why would God allow that to happen? But God knows the very end from the beginning, and he knows how to get us as his handmade to line up with the process that he has us to go through in order to for an ultimate end to glorify him. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, so question for you. In what area or areas of your life might you be tempted to rely on human wisdom rather than trusting in God's divine plan?
Oftentimes we do that. You have an important decision to make pertaining to anything you're going through. And rather than going to God, you probably go to somebody else, a human being, right? To get
Amen.
the opinion,
to get direction in our opinion, as my sister said. So, I mean, we don't trust God to and follow the process of where God leads us, but rather we turn to somebody else asking for direction. That make any
Amen.
sense? That make any sense?
Yes. Yes, many a times, and you'd realize too that many a times we do things. And then we pray after.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't seek God's direction before we do something, but we're quick to do it, following our own mind, our own desire. And then when it fails, you turn around to
And
pray and
pray
say,
to
God,
God.
how would you allow this to happen to me?
What
That's
really
true.
God's
Yeah. And yeah, so we'll find that in our careers and finances, choosing a career path, you choose it out of your own intents. Many times you choose your career out of your own intents and you do this and you do that. And then when it fails, that's the time you go to ask God, what is plan for your life when you already mess things up? You know, when you already mess things up, trying to do things your own way. You know, in our relationship, you choose a partner based on what you see, based on what you desire,
In a
your
pre-over.
selfish motive. So you choose and say, oh, that's my, I'm going to marry to that person. I'm going to marry to that person. I'm going to, you know, so your relationship, it's not like you put it to God first and say, God, lead me to the right one. And even sometimes when we go to God and say, lead me to the right one, you already go with a preconceived thought in your head, a preconceived idea that even when God would try to change your mind, you're saying that, no, that don't look right. That look like foolishness. You know, and we continue to mess, depend on our own desire instead of trusting in God. You know, our health, we do it too. We find that happening in our health and our well-being as well. You know, in our health and our well-being, you know, you feel a little pain and you don't think this pain feel right in your side or in your knee or whatever. It don't feel right. And your first instinct is to find a doctor. It's like your first instinct gonna be to go on your knee and pray. You know, the Bible tells us that if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and the prayer of faith shall save that
Sick.
person, shall heal that person. Yeah. Yes. So it's like we tend to bypass that step, and we would go to the doctor first and foremost. And when we go to the doctor and continue taking medication after medication and it's not working, that's the time now we turn it over to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is it. You know, it's like we don't seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's like we're deviating from that process to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all other things. We take things up in our own hand and we are doing as our mind would tells us, which necessarily doesn't line up with the word of God. You know, major decisions we make and we just do it out of our own instincts without invoking the presence of God, asking God what to do, how to do it, when to do it, why to do it. And we go into those decisions and we fail. And that's the time we come and we pray. Anybody like that on the line tonight? Or we are all just saved, sanctified, and you know?
No,
That's
because Lord, yes.
Yeah, I find myself doing it sometimes too, doing things, and I say, oh, this one is easy. I'm gonna do it on my own, in my own free will. I'm gonna use my own free will. This is a free choice of mine. I'm gonna say yes to this, and I'm gonna do it without even consulting God first, and then we go and we mess things up and we run back crying and stuff. You know? Yes,
No,
so
but
I am guilty of it. Going after my own instincts, saying that this is an easy one. I can sort this out. You know? But these are the ones that we should take to God, because sometimes the easy choices that you think easy in life, you know, will mess you up, you know, and deviate you from God's plan. You know? Yes, next question for us. How can we as believers better communicate the message of Christ crucified in a world that seeks signs and wisdom? So the question is, how can we
How
as
can we
believers
better
better
communicate it?
communicate the message of Christ crucified in a world that seeks signs and wisdom?
I think communicating the word comes through you, the how you interact with people, and then when people see that you are different, then you have a way of passing on the good news to them. Because you can't live anyhow and think you can share the news, the good news. You first of all, you have to project that you are walking with Jesus Christ, and then you are able to move on from there.
Amen. Amen.
The
Yes.
gospel come to you.
Yes. Sister Camille is saying, lifestyle evangelism. Let your life speak for you. You know.
Start a bit.
Yes. Anyone else? How can best believers better communicate the message of Christ crucified in a world that seeks signs and wisdom?
Let your life be a lighthouse that will lead others to Christ. So you have to live that life, as Merle said, and as Camille said, your lifestyle that is pleasing to God, and then the Holy Spirit will lead you what to that person and tell you what to say.
Amen. Yes, let your life be a lighthouse.
Yes.
Let it speak for you. And we can also share personal testimonies as well. You know, we can share our personal testimonies to communicate the Christ, the message of the cross. Share your testimony. You know, how
Brother,
it
Brother Everton,
Yes.
I have had a situation where somebody said to me, I would do that for you, but I know you will not agree to it. Oh, yes.
Amen.
I won't go into detail, but the Yes.
person said to me, I would do that for you, but
But
I
you
know
know,
you will not agree to
agree
it.
to it.
Yes. Because of the Spirit of God that is evident in your life, so they
Yeah.
know that what you stand for by the way,
Right.
your profession, the way you profess Christ, they know that
Amen.
you're
Amen.
not going to deviate from the ways of Christ in order
Yes.
to please the world. And
Yes.
so they would, when they come to you with shady, underhanded plans, they're not going to want to present it. They might have it in their mind, but they're not going to want to present it because of the life
You
that you
stand
now
up for
live
something.
in
You stand up
Christ.
for something.
Yes. Yes. So you're going to live the life. You're going to rely on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you so that they can look and see Christ manifested in your life. You know, when we're faced with situation that seems weak or foolish from a worldly perspective, we are to remember God's promise that his plans is higher and wiser than we can even imagine. Amen. And so we move on to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're at verse 26 to 29 now. Anyone there? 26 to 29.
For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. 29. That no flesh should glorify, I'm sorry, that no flesh should glory in his presence.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. No flesh should glory
In
in the
his
presence of
presence.
Almighty God. No, no. You know?
Nobody.
Yes. So he has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. You know, what a God. He's thinking outside the box. He's not boxed up like you and I, thinking, oh, God is going to move this way. God is going to move that way. God is going to move that. You know, No, that's not the God that we serve. He's thinking outside the box, and he knows how to deliver. And one of the things we are to pray for as believers is the ability, are they, are they, are we are to pray to trust God's judgment, for us to trust God's judgment, really trust Him, trust His judgment. Because sometimes, for real, as Apostle Paul would have said, sometimes the things you don't see it, you don't see the human logics in it. But as I said before, that's how a testimony would work out. Something that is in shambles is put back together. And when you look back on it, you said, by human, you in your own strength could not have put back this thing together. It have to be God. Is God
Yes.
is in control. So when he does something, you cannot equate it, or you cannot compare it to man's ability. You can't compare it to what you think man, you can't compare it to what man could do. When God do something, is definitely God. It cannot be equal to no what no human can do. That is why you see the gift and the calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't regret it because he knows the very end from the beginning. So when he give you something, it's well given. He's not going to give you and take back because he said that you don't deserve it or whatever, whatever. He knows what he's doing. You know, he knows what he's doing. He knows every step of the way. He knows it. And, you know, his ways, I continue to go back to this, his ways are higher than
Yeah,
our ways.
always.
You know, and so, and as I said, it is not in multiple of our ways, but it's in a different tangent completely. It takes on a different light completely, a different route from our route. God's ways is higher. You know, and we in our finite mind, we can't understand some of the things of God. So Paul is saying, you see your calling, brethren. That's what Paul is saying. You see your calling. Look at yourself. There were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble that are among the Christians at Corinth. And it's so in the 21st century as well. Not many wise are called up here, you know. Not many nobles are what have you. You know, but God has chosen the foolish things. Look again at the Corinth. Paul can say, you aren't wise according to the world. You are not what mighty. You are not noble, but you are among the foolish things of the world. That's what Paul is saying to the church, that they are among the foolish things of the world. That's all the world is looking at them now. Paul is saying, in a sense, the world look at us Christians as fool. Because why? They cannot understand the reason behind our faith. So they look at us as fool. The world would look at the Christians as fool because they cannot understand the reason of our faith. When we shout a hallelujah and we continue
Amen.
repetitively shouting hallelujah, they don't understand the praises that is on the inside of us that is coming out, the expressions of gratitude that God has done something for you and is a memorial on the inside of you. And now you are just belching out the hallelujahs. They don't know the depth of where it is coming from. So they're saying that you're a fool. They don't understand the depths of how you felt that God love inside of you. You know, they weren't there. They weren't there the moment when you accept God, you know, as your Lord and Savior. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the unsaved, they weren't there. The transaction that took place was between you and God. They didn't know, and they don't know where you're coming from, where God has brought you from, and where He has placed you now. You don't know the mess that God has cleaned off you. And now you're a new creature. You're a new, a brand new man, a new creation, a brand new man. When all the old things passed away, they don't understand. The world, they cannot understand how we Christians, how we would reject the pleasures of sin. They can't understand how we used to dance so much in the world. We used to go to parties and so with them and dance all with them and stuff. And we used to, seems like we're enjoying ourselves, clutching a beer in our hand or clutching a Heineken in our hand. And now it's different now. And they're saying, look what you look there in change. Why him gone a church and before him come a party, come make relax and drink and play domino and dance and stuff. They don't understand the transaction that took place with you. When the time when Jesus saved you, so they look at it as foolishness. They look at it as they don't see the logics behind it. Maybe some of the Corinthians Christians were thinking to them of themselves higher than others because God work in them, because God work in them. Just like many of us as believers, we may think we're higher than other people because of the work of salvation in us. But no, not so. He said God has been, he said you have been chosen because, not because you are so great, but it's all because of God's grace
God's
and
grace and
mercy. So
mercy.
it causes us now, as a Christian, to be so humble.
Humble.
Yes, to be so humble because we could not have saved ourselves. Yes, so the world value wisdom. The world value wisdom, strength, wealth, and noble birth. But God intentionally chooses these to be insignificant. The world would look at your wisdom, how much your head knowledge and your strength and your wealth, how much money you have and noble birth, the type of family that you were grown up in, and they would look at that to value you, the world. But in God, look at that as very insignificant. You remember we look at Rahab, Sister Grant, look at Rahab, and we see where Rahab was coming from as a prostitute, and we see she end up in royalty and stuff. The purpose why God does this, the purpose why God would do the things to change things around is to shame the wise and strong, highlighting that salvation and God's work are not based on human merits. Salvation is not based on you and I merits. We can apply this to our life by trusting in God's choosing purpose. He often works through what the world consider weak and insignificant. Yes, so in a sense, God is saying that God is are in fact, God is not saying that it's better to be foolish or uneducated or whatever, but rather he's saying that the world's wisdom and education does not bring us salvation in Jesus Christ. The world's wisdom and education, it doesn't bring us salvation. It's a free gift of God. You'd find out that God would call the weak and the ignorant first. Yeah, before he called the strong and mighty, he would call the weak and the ignorant and cause the weak men and the ignorant men to preach the gospel message to the strong and mighty, so that the strong and mighty can see
And
that
Brother
there was
Everton,
a
the disciples, like Peter.
amen.
God
Exactly. So
used
he
them.
called the weak and the he called the weak first and the ignorant first.
Then you fish
And
them. You
yes,
fish
and he
them
would
in.
call the shepherd before he called the wise men.
Why?
So
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
yeah, he would call the shepherd before he called the wise men.
Yeah.
So and he would
People
call
look
the
down on
fisherman
shepherds because they
first.
were the lowest, yeah? Yes.
Yeah, he would call the fisherman first before he called someone like Paul, who was educated.
All was learned.
So that when those men that were rejected of society present the gospel message with power and clarity and authority, the world now would see and change. Because, mind you, if he had called the wise and eloquent and the top of top first, when they begin to explain the theological and sophisticated and refrigerated terms. The lowman, the fisherman, couldn't understand what they
No,
see.
no, no, no,
You
no.
know, they would exclude the lower class and keep the salvation in the upper class. But
Yeah.
God start from the very bottom, so that
Thank
when it start to rise up, when
God.
salvation start to rise up, it
Amen.
can
Thank
reach
God.
it to the highest mountain.
Remember.
It can
Thank God.
flow to the lowest valley. Anybody can understand the simple message of salvation, the way God would have brought it forth. He started off with the low and lowly, the person that are lowest, and
Yes.
then so that the salvation could lift up and glorify him. He could
Yeah.
rise up to
It
kings
gets the
and
glory.
princes. He could
Amen.
rise up from almshouse to king's house. He could rise up and spread wide and far the message of salvation, the way God would have intended to be.
God,
He would
what a
start up from top,
wisdom of
because
God.
if he
Amen.
start
Of
on
God.
top, they would leave it up there. They would have come down to man like me and you. They would
Oh,
want us to
pride,
pay.
arrogance,
And
yes.
yes, and he offer it free without any cost, that no flesh should glory in
Jesus,
his
Jesus.
presence.
Amen.
No flesh should glory in this
Yes, Jesus.
end.
Yes,
No
Jesus.
one will stand before God and declare, I figured it out myself. Or I figured
Amen.
you out. I figured you, God, out. I figured the way
Amen.
how you would move. You
Amen.
can't fathom the way God is going to move
Move
in a
and
particular
work, hold
situation.
work.
God
Yes.
of God and always will be God.
You
And
can
you can't
understand.
stand before this great Lord
Yes.
God and
Amen.
say you know the way that He's going to move. No.
I
God
understand
is God
it.
and He moved
God
the
is
way that pleases Him. You know, His ways are higher, and no flesh will glory in His
glory.
presence. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
Amen. Before we close off, we're at 9,
Mr.
9:05. We're
Herb.
going to close off now, but one last question for you before we go. In what ways might you be tempted to boast about your achievements or status? In what ways might you be tempted? We're trying to help somebody here. In what ways might we be tempted to boast about our achievements and status? Some of us can like brag about the skills and our talents, you know, boast about our skills, what we have, the talents that we have, speaking confidently about our ability to impress others, you know. Yes, so we're trying to impress others. So we talk about our skills. We highlight prestigious affiliation. The emphasizes membership of clubs or gathering that you're in. And you'd boast about that. You'd make your boasting be about that. Some of us would compare ourselves with others, you know, trying to cut down other accomplishments and trying to lift up yourself and stuff. And display possessions and lifestyles, showing off your wealth, what you
Okay.
have achieved in your life, the luxury items, the
Yeah.
lifestyle that you're living. You know, and you'd boast about that, and it'd make you feel accepted in society. You know, it would make you feel accepted in your little circle. You know, you would use social media like Facebook, and you'd post a lot of make-believes. Yeah, you'd post a lot of make-believes. You'd post the best of you. You
And
know,
what's not,
best of you.
true, and what's not true, and what
Yeah,
not
and what's not true?
true,
You know,
pure untruth, pure untruth.
yes, just to have
We look
a
big,
high profile life and to
yes.
look big. You know, so we are tempted to boast about our achievements and our status using those medium and stuff. You know, yes, but all
Amen.
boasting should be in Christ, not in ourselves, because we are just mere human and we are finite. There's a run out date for us, an expiration date,
Yes.
and you know, we have to give honor to the man Christ Jesus was make the way. Who have paved the way for us, which is humility, you know, and God is so, so good. It's so good. It's so good when you look at it. We only can just, most time we can just reflect and see if it wasn't for God and his goodness, if it wasn't for the man Christ Jesus, where would we be? So people of God, let us just stay low, stay humble, stay obedient, stay in fellowship with him, because he's the only one that can really satisfy us in this chaotic world that we're living in. He's the only hope that we have. Amen. So with that, I want to close off tonight. I want to welcome everyone again. If there's any first time worshiper with us tonight, we want to acknowledge you. We want to acknowledge you, and we want to acknowledge any first time worshiper. I'm
Goodbye.
not seeing any.
Goodbye.
First one's here, but then
Hello.
bless the Lord,
Brother
bless the
Marlon
Lord.
and Sister Trisha.
Okay, bless the Lord, Brother Marlon. Yes.
The
Yes, there.
Martins.
And Sister Trisha and family, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. So listening on Brother Scott and Brother Scott phone, we have Sister Sandra, Brother Marlon, Sister Trisha there. Amen. So we acknowledge them. We welcome them to the platform. And we pray that on a day like today, that because we do it every Saturday, we have different presenters sometimes and stuff. We have different topics, and informative. We share and we grow. And souls are being birthed in the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. So we bless God. We bless God. Before I close off in prayer, is there any prayer requests or anything to add to the study or anything to share? Any testimony? Anything that you want the group to know? I know this week we celebrated Sister Heather's birthday. Bless God for your Sister Heather and also Sister Shelley. I don't think she's on tonight, but Sister Shelley celebrated her birthday yesterday. And yes. So before we pray, any prayer requests, anything that you want to share?
Except Brother Everton, just as I'm going to be very brief.
Yes.
Following on what you just said, as children of God, we need to project Jesus Christ. And Jesus was humble. And it's
Amen.
humility that took him to the cross. And he walked among men when he was on earth. And he was
Yes.
very humble. So we ourselves are to put ourselves at that place where we are humble before God and before other people.
Amen. Amen. The songwriter would have said to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. We want to
Hello.
be like him. Yes. I see someone that is on an iPhone trying to
Hello, good night.
good night. Good night,
Yeah.
sister.
Yeah, God is so good. He's so merciful. And without
Amen.
him, we cannot make it.
Amen. That's Sister
Yeah.
Mama.
Yeah.
Yes, welcome, Sister Marva. To God be the glory.
Yeah.
Without him, we cannot make it, sister.
No.
Yes, yes, yes.
John.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I have it now,
Yes.
please? Don't have that kind of money, bro.
All right, let us pray. Kind, loving Heavenly Father, we approach your throne one more time. We
Yes,
thank you,
God.
Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you, mighty God, for who you are. You are the great high priest. You are the lily of the valley. You are the brightest morning star. And you are the fairest of 10,000. We bless you, mighty God. We thank you that you have made a way for us where there seems to be no way. You are the bridge over our troubled waters. We thank you, mighty God, that you are our friend and you
Thank you.
never leave us. You stick closer to us than a brother. You are,
Amen.
mighty God, the one
Change
that would see us through every trials, every
Yes, Lord.
situation. You are the one, mighty God, that would give us peace in the midst of the storm. You are the one, mighty God, that would lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. You are the
Yes.
one, mighty God, that would spread a table for us in the presence of our
Present.
enemies. Mighty
Yes.
God, you'd cause us to dine, to eat. Yes, mighty God, even when others, yes, Lord, that are criticizing us, that are watching us, they are seeing the glory of God manifested in our life. We thank you, mighty God, that through it all, through everything that you would have lined up in our way, you have caused us, Lord, to acknowledge you as the source, as our source, our provider, and our protector. Here we
Yes.
are, mighty God, in your presence, as your beloved children,
Yes,
seated
question.
around your word, surrounded, mighty God, by your glory. We thank you, Lord God, for that which you have imputed in our not in our in our being this evening. We pray, mighty God, that it fell on good soil, and that, Lord God, as we leave from this spot of ground, that we'll take the name of Jesus with us.
Yes,
As we leave,
Lord.
mighty God, we'll have a deeper revelation and a deeper way to express the cross work of Jesus to a lost and dying soul. We pray, mighty God, for that we'll have that knowledge that comes from you, mighty God, the grace that you give to give us that boldness to declare your word to a lost and dying world.
Yes.
Have your way, mighty God. I pray for every situation that is among us as a people, every health issues, every financial issues, every family issues, every job issues. We pray, mighty God, that you will come and you will intertwine with us as the very
Thank
point
you,
of
remember
need.
Jesus.
At times, mighty God, we don't
Remember
even
shame.
know what our
Remember
desires are
Jesus.
because there are so
Remember strength,
many. Mighty
God.
God, there's sometimes we can't even unpick one fault or one problem that we want you to come and fix for us. But tonight, Lord God, we lay at the foot of the cross
Hallelujah.
and we
Yes.
said, Come, Jesus, come. Do a thing among us. Make
Jesus,
something
mighty
new in
God,
our
to
lives.
Jesus.
Mighty God, we have been
Hallelujah. Thank
suffering
you,
long
Jesus.
and hard.
Yes,
Yes, mighty
Lord.
God. And we know that you are the antidote for everything that we are
Hallelujah,
experiencing,
Jesus.
mighty God. We are opening up our lives
Yes,
to you,
Lord.
Lord God. We are laying it all down before you, Lord. We are emptying ourselves
Oh,
before you,
God.
mighty God, because we know, Lord, that we cannot do it without you. It's in you we live and move and have our being because
Yes,
we are
Lord.
your offspring, Lord. Lord God, you know how to give good gifts to your
Yes, Lord.
children. If
Jesus.
we ask you for bread, you won't give us a serpent, mighty
Yes,
God.
Lord. Oh,
Whatever
God, you
our
are you.
needs are, you can supply it, Lord. And so here
Jesus.
we are,
Thank you,
Lord. I
Jesus.
pray, mighty God, that you will examine every heart that
Yes,
is on
Lord.
this line tonight. And you will meet us at the crossroads where we are, mighty God. I
Yes,
pray,
God.
God, that you will light up our path. Yes, Lord, with glory, even now, Lord. And
Hallelujah,
as you lead us, mighty
Lord.
God, I pray, God, that you
Thank you,
will
Lord.
cause us to be pliable into your hands. I pray,
Yes,
mighty
mighty
God, that
God.
as we rest in your abound, in your love,
Yes,
mighty
Lord.
God, that you will lead us to higher heights
Hallelujah.
and deeper depths in you, mighty God. I pray, Jesus Christ
Hallelujah.
of Nazareth, that you will open the floodgates of
Hallelujah.
heaven one
Hallelujah,
more time, mighty
Jesus.
God, and pour out a blessing upon us, Lord, that we will have room not
Lord,
enough to
can I
contain it, Lord
continue
God.
to
I
you,
pray, God, that you will give us some
Lord?
spiritual insight that will
Yes, Lord
cause us,
Jesus.
mighty God,
In
to
the mighty name
mature
of
in you,
Jesus.
Jesus, to know, mighty God, you as you are, to take you at your word, mighty
Yes,
God.
Lord Jesus.
And so, Lord God, I rebuke the plans of Satan over
Oh,
our
yes,
life, even
Lord.
now I
Yes,
come
Lord.
against him with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And I decree and I declare, yes, mighty God, that everyone in the hearing of my voice will have the victory over every situation that seems difficult. Even now, mighty God, I pray a breakthrough on this line tonight, Jesus Christ of
Yes,
Nazareth.
mighty God.
Thank you, Jesus. I
Hallelujah.
pray for a breakthrough, mighty God.
Yes, God. Yes,
Yes,
Jesus.
Jesus. Lord, we cannot do it without you, Lord. We need you, mighty God, in our space. We need you, mighty God, where we are. We need you, Lord God, to cut and clear the
Yes,
atmosphere even now. We need you to show up in your might and in your power. We need you to
Yes,
show up, mighty
Jesus.
God. Show yourself strong, Lord.
Oh, my
Thank you,
God.
Jesus. Your word tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you, Lord, see us through them all. And so even now, mighty God, I pray, God, that you will gird us up with strength so we can fly higher than an eagle. I pray, mighty God, that you will revive us one more time, mighty God, that we will shake anything, Lord, that would hold us down. We'll shake it off our back in the name of Jesus. I pray for breakthrough in this line tonight, mighty God. I pray for a spiritual breakthrough. I pray for a physical breakthrough. I pray for a financial breakthrough. I pray for a, yes, Lord, breakthrough, mighty God, a medical breakthrough. Yes, mighty God, every sickness go in the name of Jesus. Every depression go in the name of Jesus. Every obsession go in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, a new mind, mighty God. Mind across this platform. Renew our minds. Yes, mighty God, renew it in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, the mind is the battlefield of the enemy. But we declare now, mighty God, that it is renewed. It is renewed, Lord. Refresh us. Refresh us. We need a refreshing from you, Lord. We need a refreshing. Let the Spirit of Almighty God come and refresh us one more time. Let the Spirit of Almighty God come and cover us one more time. Lord God, we do not know what awaits us at the door. We do not know, mighty God, what the enemy would set up for us. But we are thankful, Lord, that you are fighting our battles for us. We do not know, mighty God, what tomorrow brings, but we know who holds tomorrow in its hands. We know, mighty God, that you are our shield. You build an edge around us. And so right across this globe, right across this group, mighty God, I pray, God, that you will build a hedge, a protective hedge. A protective hedge around us, Lord, that will deflect the plans of Satan. Every dart of the enemy is deflected, Lord, by the edge that you build around us. I pray, God, that you will send angels to minister unto us. Yes, mighty God, angels that are specialists, angels that specializes in the things that we're going through, mighty God. Angels, Lord God, that know us, that know, mighty God, our temperament. Angels that know our stubbornness. Yes, mighty God, to walk with us, minister to us, lead us along thy way so that we will never falter along the way, mighty God.
Yes, God, help us, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes, mighty God.
Hallelujah.
It's not normal, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's not normal.
Thank you,
yes,
Jesus.
Mighty God, it's not normal.
Oh,
For people
Jesus,
to meet
listen,
in a
Lord,
format
Father.
like this. It's
Jesus,
not normal,
Lord,
Lord
Jesus,
God, to
and
make
us,
this
Lord God,
sacrifice to be
minister to
in a
us, God.
format like this.
Lord,
And
we
so
don't need
here we
you.
are, Lord.
You've never
And we
told
pray,
me to
mighty
God, we
God,
need you now,
that you will
Lord.
open up. Yes, mighty God. Open up for us, Lord. Open up avenues for us. Clear us in the name of Jesus. And lead Jesus over you.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And lead Jesus over you tonight. Jesus Christ, Jesus, Jesus,
Hallelujah.
Jesus. It has to break, mighty
Praise
God. It
God.
Has to break right now,
Thank
Jesus.
you, Jesus.
It has to break in the name of Jesus. It has to break.
Hallelujah.
Yes, mighty God.
Jesus.
Yes,
Thank
God.
you, Lord.
Clearance, clearance,
Hallelujah.
deliverance. In the name
Hallelujah,
of Jesus,
Jesus, deliverance,
deliverance,
thank you,
Jesus,
deliverance,
deliverance in the name of
hallelujah,
Jesus. People of
Jesus,
God begin to speak.
thank you,
People
Jesus,
of God begin to pray. Deliverance over this
hallelujah,
line. In the
Jesus,
name of
mighty
Jesus, the
God, we
enemy
pray
is
for
mad.
deliverance,
But
yes,
God, we are here as your people, called by your purpose, as a weapon formed against us may prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against us is condemned. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Jesus,
we have the victory in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. We just
thank
praise
you,
you.
Jesus.
We just worship
Hallelujah.
You.
Glorify your name.
I tear down that bulletin
you,
board.
Lord.
Yes, God, I see
God.
that
We
bulletin
glorify
board
you, God.
at the gates of
All
hell.
you can
Even
do,
though, mighty God, I
we
see that
just
bulletin
praise
board.
you, the
mighty
name
of
Jesus,
tearing down
God.
against
I
your
tear down
believers,
the
Lord,
of
against
Jesus.
your
Yes,
people,
mighty
even
God.
Lift up those, Lord,
Jesus,
who
yes,
have problems
every
with cancer.
planner that Satan would
This
have
time,
to
Lord, we just
deceive.
lift up
Yes, mighty God, to
and
us
pray
as
that you
we
will
are.
Hear
We bind it in the name of Jesus, and we
Lord,
release
just
your
praise
people,
your
a people,
Lord,
Lord, to
and we
worship and to praise you
all that
in the beauty of holiness.
God,
Lord,
in
Jesus,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Not yet, mighty
yes,
God, it is
Lord.
more, Lord, that we
yes,
can
Lord.
bear, even now, mighty God, lift it, mighty God, fly every trap of the enemy in the name
hallelujah,
of Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord God, it's not going to happen the way Satan wanted to happen.
Jesus.
But it's going to happen the way you want
Jesus.
It to happen, Lord. And
Jesus.
I decree it and I believe it.
Lord,
Yes, mighty God, that a breakthrough is coming. Yes, Lord, a breakthrough is preeminent.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
Lord
Jesus.
God.
Hallelujah. Your ways,
Jesus.
Mighty God, are higher than our ways. Even now, mighty God, we stand in awe of you, mighty God, because we know, Lord, that something good is about to happen. Something good is about to take place. A change, a shift in atmosphere. Something good, mighty God.
Thank you, Lord.
Everyone, God.
Thank you, Lord God, for breakthroughs. Thank you, Lord God, for deliverance. Yes, mighty God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your people. And as they go, Lord, I pray your choicest blessing upon them, Lord God. I pray your covering, your deliverance. I pray, God, that you'll walk with them, talk with them. Yes, mighty God, hold their hands as they go in Christ's
yes,
name and for thy glory. And we say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You are worthy, mighty God. You are worthy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy, mighty God. You are worthy. Hallelujah.
Have a good night's rest.
Amen.
See you in church tomorrow.